Would it help if countries could make more COVID vaccine themselves? I'm David Brancaccio. Members of the World Trade Organization are meeting on this last day of April to discuss a proposal by India and South Africa to temporarily suspend patents on COVID vaccines. Backers say it would increase the global supply of vaccines if more countries could manufacture them. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
There's now enough supply of vaccines in the U.S. that pretty much any adult who wants a shot should be able to get one soon. But in most other countries, at the rate things are going, that reality is years away.
We don't have enough vaccines for the world, now or anytime in the near future.
Amy Kapczynski is a law professor at Yale, and she says a big part of the reason is that the vaccines are patented.
Patents are essentially government-granted monopolies. They allow you to prevent anybody else from making something that's covered by your patent.
Which, she says, is not a good idea in a pandemic.
Because we want all hands on deck. We want everybody who is able to make these vaccines in a high-quality way to make them and to help us put billions and billions more doses out in the next 6 months.
But waiving patents alone wouldn't necessarily make that happen, says Jacob Sherko at the University of Illinois College of Law.
It presumes that if we just like write it down like it's a recipe for chocolate chip cookies, we can just like make vaccine tomorrow. And that's simply not true.
Because, Sherko says, vaccine manufacturing is complicated.
It needs skilled, highly specialized facilities. It needs skilled technicians to actually conduct some of the manufacturing processes.
Some of which are company secrets. And forcing drug companies to share their patents would not force them to share their secrets. Glenn Cohen at Harvard Law School says the government had some leverage here back when it was making deals with drug companies as part of Operation Warp Speed.
One could have imagined a version of this where, as part of a condition of receiving the funding, there was more done to ensure access for less developed countries and sharing of technology and sharing of intellectual property.
More than 100 countries back the proposal to temporarily waive COVID vaccine patents. The U.S. isn't one of them. But the White House says it's considering the idea. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
The news from Europe is that the economies of Germany, Spain, and Italy contracted January to March as the continent's vaccine rollout ran into problems and lockdowns came back. France's economy, however, rebounded. The key stock index in Amsterdam is down 0.3% now. Here, Dow and S&P futures are down in the 3 to 4 tenths of a percent range. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh believes many who work for the gig economy companies should be classified as employees with benefits, not contractors. Uber stock fell 6% on the news. Lyft fell 10%. DoorDash down 7.6%. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is following us. What did Labor Secretary Walsh say?
Well, he told Reuters that sometimes gig workers are treated respectfully, and in some cases, they're not. They're independent contractors, so they typically don't get overtime or the minimum wage. Normally, they're not eligible for unemployment benefits either. And Walsh says the profits that companies like Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash are making right now should trickle down to the worker.
And what lever could the Labor Department use for this?
Well, the department sets the rules and legal guidelines on employers' treatment of workers. The Labor Department's Wage and Hour Division has proposed getting rid of a Trump administration rule that made it easier for companies to classify workers as independent contractors. Walsh pointed out the federal government had to step in during the pandemic to cover unemployment benefits for gig workers.
As for the gig companies,
Uber and DoorDash told Reuters their gig workers like being independent contractors because they value the flexibility of setting their own work schedules. DoorDash said it's committed to, quote, protecting its workers' independence while providing greater security and benefits.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Thank you very much. With health concerns, COVID border controls, and economic hardships of pandemic, many who might have traveled in the last year did not. With vaccinations, thoughts are turning to new vistas, and the New York Times cites a top European Union official saying Europe might let vaccinated Americans come over to the EU this summer, although further details are scant. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman now on how it could be a while before international travel for fun rebounds.
Last November, Anita White and her mom were planning to visit Italy.
Rome and Venice and Florence.
But then COVID.
We kind of waited and waited, and then we had to cancel.
Since the pandemic hit, White's flown once domestically. She canceled a second plane trip because it seemed too risky. But now that she and her mom are fully vaccinated,
I am planning on being in Italy in November.
Morning Consult has been tracking how consumers feel most comfortable traveling.
On a train, on a plane, on a bus.
Analyst Alyssa Myers says consumers rank train, bus, and domestic air travel well above international air travel. And it's unlikely Americans will rush back to international cruises soon, says Tuna Amobi at CFRA Research.
It may not be until late into 2023 that we starting to approach pre-pandemic levels.
Amobi says cruise lines have trimmed their fleets, but still face high operating costs to keep ships in the water. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. Our engineers are Ryan Allison and Jay Siebold. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.